It's the Up North Lowdown from Interlochen Public Radio. I'm Ed Ronco. This is our daily look at life in northern Michigan. We'll give you some headlines in a few, but we are starting with a story about what it takes to start over. In the late 1990s, nearly half of Michiganders who had been in prison reoffended after their release. Today, that number has fallen to a historic low. About a fifth of people now return to incarceration. Still, people leaving prison or jail face steep hurdles rebuilding their lives, from finding housing and work to overcoming stigma. IPR's Maxwell Howard spoke with someone trying to start over and the people working to help.
I'm sitting down with Dustin Morrison in one of the few dozen pews at the First Baptist Church in downtown Traverse City. In front of us, stairs lead to a pulpit, and past that, a wooden cross is suspended in the air under the high church ceiling. Just two buildings over is the county jail.
I grew up over there. You know, like, I got the ability to see one of the old...
You mean in that neighborhood, or you mean in that cell?
In the jail. I've been in every cell in there.
Dustin has spent the better half of the last 2 decades in and out of jail or prison. A good portion of it down the street at the Grand Traverse County Jail. Part of why Dustin kept returning to jail was that he was in addiction and stole to feed his habit. He was released from his last stay in 2024 after being in possession of methamphetamine.
And still the struggle. You know, substance abuse, drug addiction. Sometimes we go from addiction inside prison to addiction outside of prison. So to transition from addiction inside to outside, we get worse.
In the past 2 decades, recidivism, or the tendency of a convicted criminal to reoffend, has dropped in Michigan. The Michigan Department of Corrections credits that to programs and organizations across the state which offer housing support, recovery resources, and job placement assistance. One of those organizations, the nonprofit Before, During, and After Incarceration, started in 2016. Tambu Samra is one of the organization's founders, and he helped Dustin during his last release.
They come out, they don't have a job yet, they may not even have a place to stay.
Tom says his organization works in several ways, offering life skills and addiction classes in the jail, while advocating for change on the outside. Some of that work has already helped bring a social worker and a discharge planner into the county jail. The way Tom describes it, the challenges of reentry can be like a death by a thousand cuts. First, there's transportation.
Many have lost their license.
Then there's housing.
Your only opportunity might be the basement in a friend's house.
There's also the many technicalities of probation.
Someone said to me that probation is like walking naked across a tightrope. You're vulnerable all the time.
But maybe the biggest challenge is a social one.
Coming back to the same community of people with whom you were drinking or drugging, that's also a difficult thing. But many people have limited housing opportunities.
Because of this, it's not hard to end up back in a bad situation. Finding a good community is key, he says. And for Dustin, that happened at the First Baptist Church. A few years ago, he was in the basement of the church attending a meditation session when he felt something pull him upstairs.
And I just felt the presence here in the building. I would sneak up here like when they're still making coffee in the beginning of the meeting, I would sneak up here. And
What did that feel like? What did that energy feel like?
Like a hunger or thirst coming to the meeting just to sneak up here, to be in here. You know, I felt home.
Sometime after that, Dustin ended up going back to jail for his last stay for that possession charge. But while he was away, he kept in touch.
You know, I wrote letters too. Like, I put everybody's name that I could remember on the top of the letter. And I said, I'll be back soon. You know, like, I knew when I got back here, I would never leave.
Dustin says at First Baptist, he felt a sense of belonging, that his opinion was not only heard, but valued.
It wasn't just like a charity case or a handout. It's like, Dustin, what do you think about this? You know, allowing me to be involved, being connected to him, building relationships and friendships with people that I didn't know, you know.
Since Dustin's been back, he's taken up more responsibilities. He's given the message at church. He reaches out to others experiencing homelessness or recently let out of jail. His work has even extended to his family. His mother, who's had her own troubles with addiction, recently moved back to town, but was without a home. Dustin had been helping her with housing already, but now she was waiting in line at an emergency shelter. He brought her back to the church one day, not to show her the building, but to show her something else.
So I brought her here. You know, I used to send her pictures of like, Ma, this is mine, you know. Not mine as in possession, but like, this is what they give me, you know, like. So it's like I look at this place when I'm cleaning it, like, so I get emotional sometimes just vacuuming floors. Like, they allow me to do this, so I do the best job I can.
This Monday will mark Dustin having been sober for 1 year.
It's a milestone that I have never reached in recovery. Being in recovery for 17 or 24 years, since the age of 17, I went to my first meeting. I've never reached that milestone outside of incarceration.
For IPR News, I'm Maxwell Howard.
Let's check some headlines now. And our first one also takes us to church. Two Roman Catholic parishes in northern Michigan are set to close under a plan from the Diocese of Gaylord. St. Mary's Parish in Burt Lake and Jesus the Good Shepherd Parish in Atlanta are designated for closure under a plan from the diocese. Some 20 other churches would be designated for what's called limited use. The Sault Ste. Marie Tribe of Chippewa Indians' effort to appeal a regional fishing decree has come to an end. That's after the U.S. Supreme Court declined to take the case. The 2023 Great Lakes Fishing Decree is an agreement between the state, the feds, and five tribes in northern Michigan. It allocates fish and fishing territory in parts of Lake Superior, Lake Michigan, and Lake Huron. The Traverse City Curling Club is suing Garfield Township. That lawsuit is tied to a tax dispute. That's from a story in the ticker. The Curling Club is a relatively new establishment inside the old Kmart property at Garfield and South Airport Roads and has been arguing with the township over its tax status. Monday, if you remember, was rough around here. Heavy snow, blowing snow. Our own Ellie Katz told us live on the air how she had been stymied in her morning drive by whiteout conditions along US 31.
Yeah, my little Prius, it can only handle so much. So right now I'm parked at, you know, Beitner and 31, and at the top of the hill outside of town, it's certainly worse than below the buffalo herd there.
Conditions weren't much better yesterday, so we took special note of a video we saw on the Facebook page of Coast Guard Air Station Traverse City. That is an MH-60 Jayhawk helicopter. The rotors are spinning fast. The snow is billowing up around it. At times, you can't even see the helicopter. They were out in that weather responding to a medevac call near Mackinac Island. The patient was transported back to the air station and then transferred to Munson Hospital. And that is the Up North Lowdown for Wednesday, January 21st.
Support for Interlochen Public Radio is provided by you and by Comfort Keepers. For over 20 years, Comfort Keepers have been providing in-home care services and keeping seniors living independently in the comfort of their own home. Learn more at ComfortKeepers.com.